Om Shanti. I would like to share some thoughts about love and friendship. This has been requested by one of the families. You know how people like this expression, unconditional love, and Dadi very often says, well, Baba's love is unconditional, but there's plenty of conditions. So she gets that word unconditional in, but not for long. So what is the question of conditions? And what kind of conditions? And why are there conditions? And why are they so many conditions? I think that Baba, anyway, he's incorporeal. Brahma Baba is avyakt. When we are soul conscious, we have very easy access to the feeling of being incorporeal, and we have easy access to the stage of being avyakt. Do you experience this? That's when we are soul conscious. And then when you experience a moment where soul consciousness isn't happening and you have fallen down onto the level of the material, the reality of the material world in a state of materialism, then you kind of can't take off. So what to do? How do we make ourselves soul conscious? Or perhaps we should think that I have to give as much time as it takes to get myself soul conscious and keep myself soul conscious. Because sometimes we may try to leap over the stage of soul consciousness and go straight to the avyat stage or straight to the incorporeal stage, and we want to be having immediate connection with Baba, but we try to do it without having first taken the time to make the self soul conscious. So I think it's important to always remember the instructions for Raj Yoga. And the first instruction is, consider yourself to be a soul. Detach yourself from your body. Dispossess yourself of all the different material support systems in your mind. It's a kind of a sannyas, you know, sannyas, a renunciation. And in fact, even we hear about these three words of tyag, tapasya, and service. So tyag means renunciation. Tapasya, you know, is intense meditation. And then service is something that happens automatically when there has been renunciation and tapasya. So renunciation is a word that seems like very, you know, high level sort of renunciation involved, but you can apply it to any little thing. So I think that in order to become soul conscious, it's very good to do it in baby steps. And just give yourself a minute or two, or five or six or ten, to just say, okay, here I am, sitting here, now. Let me consider myself as a soul. I may be body conscious, but let me consider myself as a soul. Because even this word consider is very helpful, because it carries you somewhere focused. There's a song from the musical Oliver. You might be familiar with that. It's an old musical from the Charles Dickens story of Oliver Twist. And Oliver was a poor boy from the streets, and he got adopted by this family of poor people who were, I think they were all criminals, like a little gang, and they had this song for welcoming the new boy, and the song was called Consider Yourself One of Us. Do you know that song? Anybody know it? Anyway, it's a kind of very jolly song. But it's very helpful just to take this word consider, you know. Whether you are or you aren't is not the question, but consider that you are means think that you are. And when you consider yourself to be a soul, then you give yourself that possibility to actually enter into that stage of being a soul. So it's a very useful word. Consider yourself to be Baba's child. Act as if you are Baba's child. Because we are actors anyway. So act as if you are a soul. Act as if you are Baba's child. Consider that you have the right to be in a good stage. Consider that this body is there, and no doubt it is my body, and it's with me as long as I'm alive in it. But at the same time, it's okay for me to consider myself to be the occupant of this body. I live in this body. And use various thoughts of this nature to bring yourself closer to this inner sense that, yeah, I'm a being, I occupy this body, I'm alive, I'm real, I think, I feel, I understand, I am consciousness, I'm a soul. And consider yourself to be a peaceful soul. Even if you're not feeling peaceful, consider yourself to be a peaceful soul. So this word consider, just keep using it until you start to really feel, yes, I am detached from this body. I can see, you know, you start to look with your third eye and orient yourself into that stage where you can see there's a drama going on. It's a drama. It's okay. Whatever it is, it happens every 5,000 years like this, and I'm a player in it. And if I want, I can consider it a comedy, or if I want, I can consider it a tragedy, or it can be a tragicomedy. It can be whatever you consider it to be. It means whatever you think, however you want, it can be. Now, where do you live? Where do you, the soul, live? You can say, okay, well, I live in this body. And is that the home sweet home that you really want to experience? Or maybe there's another place where you live, which may be more of an attractive type of home. And so consider that you live in Baba's heart. Do you like that spot? So if anybody asks you your address, it's in Baba's heart. And though you are in this body, but it's your car, it's not really your home. So you go around and do things in your car, but your real home is in Baba's heart. So you consider yourself to be a peaceful, beautiful, lovely soul who has all the rights, and you are a fully empowered Brahmin soul. Can you consider yourself like that? It's quite possible, right? And then I live in Baba's heart. And so in Baba's heart, what is that house like? It's extremely comfortable because, after all, he is the comforter of hearts. And one of his titles is the friend. So I live with my friend in his heart. Consider it like that. This is me. I am the friend of God. God is my friend. And we live together in his heart. And so you feel very, very deep comfort. You feel that, yes, this is the correct place to be. I am in Baba's heart. It's a very protected place, a very comfortable, warm, soft place where you always have access to Baba because he's there too. And so you are his friend, he is your friend, and he's with you. And then when you do things, you take him with you. Because he says to us, child, I am always with you. So consider that at every step that I make, Baba is with me. And so the remembrance of Baba means that I have to make myself feel and really be very conscious of the fact that Baba is with me. I am not acting alone here. Because when you act alone, sometimes you don't do it right. But when you are with Baba, considering himself to be with you all the time, it's a very good practice to refer your thinking to him and refer your feeling to him. Because whenever you make this referral, then you actually are doing a karma in your mind, a karma of bringing him or involving him in your action. And when you do that, then you are having karma with Baba. When we're not having karma with Baba, then we're having karma with various other people. And then that means that there could be a sanskara clash, or we could be alone, or we could be in disagreement, any sort of ordinary, normal situation can arise. But if I'm with Baba and together we deal with any situation that arises, any scene that arises in the drama, then always your karma is directly with Baba and then indirectly with the different other players in the drama. So that the way that Baba feels, you know, Baba is the ocean of love. And so when you're sitting together with the ocean of love, obviously you will be feeling the quality of that love. Just as if you were sitting in the ocean of water, you would be feeling the water. You'd feel the temperature, you'd sense the salinity, you'd see the color, the temperature. You're aware of that water. So in the same way, when you're with the ocean of love, you're aware of the quality of his love, you're aware of that feeling, you're aware that he is aware of you. and that you are together. And then you're doing something with Baba in relation to some or another situation. So that your experience of the situation is coming to you through the filter of Baba's love. So you're not experiencing the situation as it is, but as it seems when you see it through the filter of Baba's love. And Baba's love is also for the drama. Baba loves the drama. This is his creation. And he says, everything in the drama is good. When you're alone, you can experience some scenes of the drama not to be good and some to be good. There's that variation. But when you're close to Baba, you're interacting with Baba, and then from that interaction you look at some scene in the drama, you will also be able to see it more easily from the perspective of Baba. Any scene in the drama will have people in it. All of those people, they are Baba's beloved children. Baba likes each and every one of them. Of course, there are some people who he calls his ananya children. You remember from Daddy Jenki's class the other day, the meaning of ananya, someone who is absolutely unique as well as specially beloved. Not like anybody else, but also very special. So, now you become such an ananya child, because you are not like anybody else, right? And you're very, very close to Baba. And then you see, being hand in hand with Baba, you see the other people the way Baba sees them. You don't see them as they are, you see them as Baba sees them. And of course Baba has taught us how to see people, and he has taught us how he sees people. That is, he sees the original stage, he sees the eternal stage, he understands all of the procedures of that soul as it goes through the drama. And that is his eternal child. And he is quite detached from whether the behavior is good, bad, or indifferent, because he sees through it. So when you're with Baba, having a deep, intense relationship with Baba, and you're seeing everything through the filter of Baba's eyes, then you start to take on the characteristics of Baba. You take on the characteristics of someone who you're very close to. You know, you might have seen some jokes where people's dogs become like them, right? And because a dog will be with you all the time, all the time, all the time. And then the dog will start to act like the owner of the dog and look like the owner of the dog, or the owner of the dog will start looking like the dog. And so there are many little jokes about that. And it is because of this phenomenon of proximity. Whoever you are really, really near to, you become like them. Just because you're with them all the time. You start absorbing their characteristics and their way of doing things and their way of looking at things and their way of relating to things. So making yourself being with Baba, or considering Baba to be with you at each scene of the drama, you are actually going to become more and more Bap Saman. So when you are with other people, You'll be with those other people the way Baba would be with those other people. In a sense, you are not being the father to those other people or the mother to those other people, but because you're so close to the mother and the father and the beloved and the friend and the guide and the teacher, all of these characteristics keep on rubbing off on you. And so you will interact with those other people in the way that Baba would interact with them. And when you do this, then you are not having any karma, which is good to know. But you get karma in the sense of some karmic account when you're just you. And then you interact with the others. You have a direct karmic interaction with the other people. But when you're with Baba and you become so much influenced by Baba, then you're relating to them much more like instrumentally. So your karma stays with Baba, and then your karma with the other people would be indirect. That means there's no account. And because of that, you can actually be more genuine in your relationships with the other people. You can be genuinely friendly because you do not want anything in return, or you do not take anything in return, because you're having an indirect account. So if the person does what you want or doesn't do what you want, it doesn't really make much difference because you're with Baba. If you're with them, they do what you want, you like it. They don't do what you want, you don't like it. And when you like it, it moves you away from Baba. And when you don't like it, it also moves you away from Baba. So the trick, I think, that we are being taught by Baba is this use of the word consider. Consider that each and every one of your actions are with Baba. Consider that you live in Baba's heart. Consider that all of these are actors, there's a drama going on, and everything is good. And it is good when you're with Baba. If you look at the thing according to your conventional or your habitual way of looking at things, which can only happen when you're separated from Baba, which is also called Viyoga. So yoga is when you're with Baba, and Viyoga is when you're separated from Baba. So the separation from Baba means that it's very possible for Maya to enter in. You see, because you're either with Baba or you're not. So if you're not with Baba, then you're with Maya. Because he makes things really very black and white, like the idea of your thought as a switch. And your switch can be either on or off. So if you switch the switch of your thought to on, I am soul conscious and with Baba, then there's no possibility of darkness, there's no possibility of Maya, there's no possibility of deception or delusion or illusion. And so you interact with the world through the eyes of knowledge and with the feeling of connectedness with Baba. Then you can love. And if somebody is being loving towards you, you'll be able to receive that love graciously, but you will not take support of it because you already have the full support of Baba's love. So someone is loving towards you, that's very nice. You experience it, but you let it go right away because you are not deceived into getting attached to it or taking support from it. You appreciate it, it's very nice, but I don't need it because I have Baba. I see. So then you can have a very beautiful, loving exchange with people that doesn't include any dependency or any bondage or any kind of karmic account. I see. And this is the way that Baba would like us to be. And this is the way we are in the Golden Age. In the Golden Age, there is no karma created, no karmic account at all, because everyone is operating on the basis of the accumulation of power that was developed during the previous confluence age. And this is the confluence age, so this is the time when we make ourselves free. So one of the things that Baba is teaching us, which is responding to our request, we want to be free, we want to be liberated, and we want to have jivan mukti, we want to be free in life. And a person can only be free in life when they are detached. So the symbol which is given to us, one of the symbols of Vishnu, is the lotus flower. The lotus flower. The Baba is asking us to live a lotus life. So we are in the world, but not of the world. We are detached and lovely, detached and loving. And so the final stage of Brahma Baba was often described as absolutely loving and absolutely detached. So at the very end, when Baba left the body and moved into the avyakt stage, he had achieved this intense love for all the children and at the same time total detachment. So from where we are now, considering ourselves as the soul, moving into the stage of being in yoga as a way of life, means constantly with Baba as we encounter the various different scenes in the drama. So I am a yogi soul living a yogi life, and I'm all the time sitting on this lotus flower. And my interactions with people, things, circumstances, always with the company of Baba. And the color of the company of Baba means that I am actually immune to the attraction and repulsion that takes place in any situation where we have direct action with people, places, or things. So being such a person, we can be a true friend to another person. A fake friend is someone who pretends, oh, I am with you, but they have some other agenda, and then when you really need them, they're not available for you. That's a fake friend. But a real friend is somebody who's with you all the time. And the only one who can actually do that is the bodiless one. And as much as we stay in our soul conscious, detached, avyakt, subtle, spiritual stage, that much we are really with Baba. And there's this constant feeling of that light of Baba. You know, you're not in a gross state of consciousness, because you can't be with Baba and be in a gross state of consciousness. So every time you feel yourself being separated from Baba, it's because you have gone from subtle into gross. So then you have to start again. Okay, let me make myself subtle. Let me really, you know, establish the difference between me and this body. And even if it takes you a few minutes, it's worthwhile. Sometimes the best meditations happen when you have really spent a good amount of time strongly establishing yourself in soul consciousness. So it's really, really stable, and then you immediately move into a very good stage of yoga. You have very, very good experiences because you did the preparatory work of the first stage of getting into the soul conscious stage. Sometimes you will even hear it said that if you're soul conscious, you will be God conscious. But if you're not soul conscious, you'll struggle. Because we have to get ourselves onto the same level as Baba. Constantly, our association with our body, our association with sense perceptions, keeps us in contact with the world. And so we have to constantly balance that with continually reasserting the true matter that I am a subtle soul. I live in Baba's heart. I am with Baba. And then I come into action. And then when the action is finished, I return to Baba's heart. So this is a very, you have to be kind of very attentive on yourself to keep this up, but always start everything with Om Shanti. I'm a soul, I'm detached, let me see what this situation is, I am with Baba, okay Baba, let's look at this situation, I'm with Baba, the father, the teacher, the friend, the guide. Look at the situation, deal with the situation, complete that task or fulfill that scene of the drama, and then stop. Return to Om Shanti, return to sitting in Baba's heart. This is our place from where we depart into action, and when the action is finished, we return to that place. And though it does require us to pay a lot of attention to actually do this, but it's extremely good practice, and you can try that while you're here in Madhuban, where there's less other things that you have to do. And if you make the practice in Madhuban very strong, then of course you're building a sanskar, and then you won't be able to not do it. It then becomes natural at every beginning of every action, with Baba through the action, return to Baba's heart at the end of the action. Give yourself a pause, just like he keeps on asking us to pause with all these traffic controls. We're getting more and more and more traffic controls. Every time someone's phone rings, it's some sort of traffic control song, and so you think, oh, this must be another traffic control. So you're really used to pausing and stopping. But if you can link that to, I start in Om Shanti, I'm detached, I'm loving, I'm with Baba, I live in Baba's heart. Okay, now let's see what's going on. Okay, do a little something with Baba. Okay, what did I learn? What's going on? How do I interpret this scene as good? How do I profit from it? How do I make sure each thought, word, and action is profitable for me? Because the confluence age is the time for enlightened self-interest. Not selfishness, but enlightened means filled with knowledge, so that we do every action for ourselves, because Baba has told us to make ourselves full. Om Shanti.